Testing, testing. I think we're recording.
Nice.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys, we'll give you 2 minutes
sure.
to get settled, and then we'll get started. So,
hey, you're not going to kick me.
Wednesday, March 9th, we will call our Planning Development and Extension Education Committee meeting to order. Amy is going to be kind of helping oversee some of the administrative parts of our meeting today. And Amy, would you just, you know, break out the compliance with our open meetings laws and announcements?
Indeed. The posting was published on February 24th and March 1st.
Does that okay, yeah. Great. Very good. Well, then that leads us to agenda item number two, our featured program, Real Colors Innovations, which I believe is Amy as well. So, Amy, we'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, today we're not doing a presentation per se because this particular program that I do with some frequency is all about pushing people into sort of thinking differently and working together differently. So we're not going to have PowerPoint slides. We're just going to have some fun. And I'm going to walk you through a program called Real Colors. We're going to do some activities. And let's see. I think we have enough booklets for everybody here.
Thank you.
So welcome to Real Colors. This is a curriculum that is not developed by Extension, but we use this across the state to build teams and improve communication across difference, if you will. So there's also a youth curriculum that we use, and at times the youth development educator becomes a trainer just like I am, but at this time Erica's just backing me up and observing with the rest of us. So the goals and objectives of Real Colors: recognize strengths, speak in the language of strengths, and really affirm people's natural tendencies and temperaments. Your strengths and other people's strengths. Real Colors is all about affirming and really drawing out those positive attributes. Building rapport quickly. Elected officials, this will be very, very helpful to you. I will tell you this, Real Colors, if at its very least, will help you understand how to recognize assets and strengths of others and then speak in their language. Listen and speak, like I say, in that color language. So, for example, knowing that Erica may be in orange, you'll know what that means in short order. I know that she may be someone that's very creative and thrive on a little bit more risk-taking and social interactions. So I may speak to her about hobbies straight away, whereas someone else may, you know, a green, more analytical, I would just kind of switch into a different line, just, you know, speaking about their work, trying to get at maybe what they do for, you know, what they do during the day, what they like about their work, etc. So it's just a way of kind of listening and speaking in a color group. And then we have ton of fun doing this. It's usually a 3-hour training, and we get people working together in all different ways. So we'll start this way. There's some papers by the corner there. Rather than have you write in the books, I'm going to do this very on the cheap because they're about $7 a piece. So I'm going to have you write everything. Yeah, pass that. Thanks. So we're going to have you just everything that you want to write down, you write on your paper. And we'll spare the books, right? So go ahead, and thank you, Daniel. with that sheet of paper, take out your writing utensil and write your name, nice and big, however you feel compelled. Write your name on that paper. First and last. Okay. You like the looks of it or wish your handwriting was neater? Go ahead and put that writing utensil in the other hand and try writing your name again. Go ahead, feel a little ridiculous, but just do it. How did that feel, Amy?
Unfortunately, I've never done that before when I broke my hand, so.
Oh,
so she's good at it.
No, it didn't improve.
Oh, no.
Well, Supervisor Beth, what was that like for you?
It looks very scrawly, like I might have been a second grader.
All right, I could see you were concentrating very intently there. How about you, Supervisor?
Better than last year when I was in pre-K. K-4. Is it K-4?
All right, well, go ahead and let's see. Write again in your offhand and really taking note of what that feels like to kind of put yourself in a little bit of like a unusual, awkward kind of place. Just try it again, taking notice of like really what that's like. What do you think, Brooke? I mean, you can read it, correct?
Yeah.
It's not horrible, right?
It's not that bad.
Not that bad. Well, this is what we're going to ask you over the course of the 20 minutes we have together to try experimenting with a new tool and writing with your offhand, so to speak, and speaking in this language of other colors. It's not always natural, but we're going to try to do it because that's what builds really great relationships, when people can understand how each other's temperament frames their behaviors, their values, their strengths, that sort of thing. So just bear with me and we're going to have some fun here. So where are we here? I'm going to have you open your books and not write on the books again, right? But open your books and look at those four cards that are all hooked together. Yep, so these colored cards, we're not going to tear them apart because we're going to use these books again, but just lay them out in front of you and with the picture side up. So part of Real Colors is you actually do an assessment to determine your own color group. So generally we would have these torn apart and you can move them around, but for the sake of the exercise, let's just look at the four colored cards and see which one is kind of speaking to you. Which one do you like the best? Like, this seems to be things that I like to explore myself. Are you following, Supervisor Beth? You're just going to be looking at the picture side. So as you're looking,
yes, I like
blue. Yeah, you like the blue. Okay, blue already just resonates. Okay, well, as you're looking at those, you're going to take your paper and you're going to write down a kind of a version of the scoring grid that's also open on your paper. So you're going to say, okay, the color that's most like me is probably the blue. So you're going to put a 4, so to speak, in a color grid on your paper. Are you guys following? And then you're going to say, okay, after blue, the next most like me is going to get 3 points. Erica's thinking hard. Which one is resonating? 4, 3, yep, so you're going to want to make sure blue, gold, green, and orange all have a color. All have a score. So for example, when I do this, I assign myself a 4 in the orange category, a 3 in the blue, then just keep on going, 2, and then 1 point for the least like you. Can you guys figure that out? Just kind of recreate the scoring grid. Erica's got it. Erica, nice. Which color is most like you?
In this case, in the pictures, orange.
Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Are we all caught up? Let me take a peek. Okay, very good. Perfect. So most like you is that orange, Supervisor Maurer. Very good. How about Supervisor Gashke? Most like you, what did you decide?
As far as the pictures go?
Yeah, the pictures.
Gold.
The gold was the most like you. Okay. Well, why don't you turn to your partner and talk a little bit about why you picked that color group for most like you. Just talk a little bit about what resonated with you on that card. Most like you.
Blue?
Erica, I'll be your
representative.
What's resonating?
Let's see, it's always really hard between the orange and the blue. But I feel like I can see myself in all these activities, for sure.
For me,
I'm
a little entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurial, starting new things, projects, I like doing that, like organizing around them. I love talking to new people.
That could be the creative space right there.
It could be. I have tried rock climbing. I love trying new things, like a new hobby all the time, especially like fitness related. And I do often try to skip the instructions. I feel ambitious. I speak a lot. I like to travel. I enjoy riding in a convertible. That's for sure. And then, the blue's hard too, because this is also
relational.
Okay. Yeah, music I've done, like people or family.
I love family.
Sports cards. Thank you.
You too, I didn't realize that.
I like to fly.
We'll give you one more minute just talking about most like you. What made you
I love
that?
My social life.
So Supervisor Maurer, what's jumping on your mind?
Sure.
Yeah.
I actually picked green. So for me, I love reading. So this is one that stood out to me the most. I also enjoy that.
You do? Okay.
So that's how I interpreted this.
Not this. I don't.
There's always a more sensitive relational side to us all, which is bad. Right? I'm going to pull us back together real quick just because we are on a timeline. So imagine that you would turn these over. I'm just going to give you a few minutes and give you a chance to read about the color groups and see if you're still inclined, now that you're learning a little more about the color groups, to assign that order, most like you to least. So just take a few minutes and we'll read the cards. Is that helpful?
The opposite side, yes. The 4 the most.
And it's perfectly normal if, like, all of a sudden now you're thinking, maybe I'm more gold than I thought. Your colors may change as you know more information. Thank you. What do you think?
I think it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty close.
So you're still saying mostly blue?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
And then your second color was that orange.
That's pretty much green and gold. I think that's pretty much the way of making them.
Okay. Okay. Okay, we'll just give you one more minute, and then I'm going to have to tear you away from the activity just because of the time constraints. So a little shifting.
Yes, and these two switch to these two switch.
So then you can go ahead and assign a 4-3-2-1 to the colors that are most like you based on your more information. Maybe they've changed, maybe they haven't. So when you're ready, we're going to go ahead and kind of skip ahead, but you're going to add up your points for blue, give yourself a total, give yourself a total for gold, give yourself a total for green and orange, and just see kind of which color group is getting the highest score. It's likely going to be the color that you picked at the outset, but is this making sense? I'm sorry that we're just kind of short-circuiting the process here, but thanks for bearing with me. So you're going to add your scores up.
I switched these to after I read, but I'm very...
Perfect. Okay, so you're mostly blue, right? The highest score?
Beyond a doubt.
Beyond a doubt. Who's mostly blue? Highest score, blue. One, two, three. Whose high score is gold? One. Whose high score is green?
Green and gold were tied.
Green, oh, it's high. Okay.
I'm
and orange? Very good. And orange? Supervisor Maurer, did you have a color?
Blue.
Blue.
Hey, we won.
Blue. All right. Well, this is what we would do next. And I just don't know if we have time, but it's so fun to do. We would have you sitting together in your color groups. I'm not going to bring that to us today. But essentially what you would be working out is your color groups, joys, values, strengths, and needs. And what happens is you start to see this constellation of skills and strengths that are very, very telling. So if you want to skip ahead in your books to page 18, you're going to start to see that these color groups have a whole host of attributes based on their temperaments. What can we learn if we kind of explore the golds? Daniel, if I can call you out. So you are a tie, correct?
Right.
So that's a really good sign to some extent because you're very fluid between, you can be more relational or you can be more organized,
yeah,
so to speak. Which color was your card selection, the pictures?
For the pictures, it was gold.
Gold. Okay, then let's lean in on the gold and tell us a little bit about what resonates about the gold in that chart.
Yeah.
What's coming up for you as far as esteemed for being dependable? Have you ever gotten that kind of a feedback?
Yeah.
Dependable, stressed by lack of order.
Absolutely.
Highest virtue of responsibility, loyalty. A lot of things about golds is they feel a very strong passion to be providers. And loyalty looks very different to some extent for a gold than a blue. So let's talk a little bit about blues. Supervisor Nuto, what about the blue do you think speaks to you and resonates from what you know of yourself?
Being a good listener.
Being a good listener.
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
People.
Very social, relational. Nice thing about blues, is that they are very intuitive relational beings. So what loyalty maybe looks like to a blue is a little different than the gold, in that the blue feels loyalty and relational sort of affection to any and all out there, the broader community. So they're not necessarily seeing divisions between, okay, this person is my blood brother and this one is a friend. Everyone is part of what they would call their extended family. The golds, on the other hand, really do look at a nuclear family because they feel loyalty in a different way, which means I have to protect them and I want to provide for them. Supervisor Maurer, let's hear a little bit about the orange. What are you seeing in that column that's kind of jumping off the page or something that resonates with you?
The on-the-job energizer, seeking freedom, the entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Right. So the oranges, many times when I do this training for people's workplaces, nobody wants to admit they're an orange because they're afraid they're going to look like a bunch of rebels in front of their bosses. What we love about the oranges is they bring creativity, the innovation, they bring the fun. Generally, no team is the same without that sort of spark and sort of being attuned to a team dynamic of fun, humor, a little bit impulsive. You can probably improvise very well, think on your feet, that sort of thing, would you say?
To a degree, yeah.
To a degree. And then we have the greens. Was there a green in here? Okay, let's hear from you. Brooke, what about greens? Have you heard people compliment you or gotten some feedback about?
Probably like trusting in facts and logic, like being really logical, and then also the highest grade is like objectivity.
Indeed. The greens are the lowest number proportionally in our population. So it's believed. These are very, like, kind of prized, if you will, team members, because there's not many out there, but they're very, very prone to being analytical. And what about a green is so compelling is that there's never just one right answer. Brooke, have you ever gotten the impression that, I can't give you an answer unless you want to give me more context and I'll keep looking. Give me a timeline, right? And a deadline, because yes. I'll just keep coming back to you once I have more information. Can you give me an example when that like kind of played out in your life?
Well, I have a debate in English class this next week, so we were working in teams to write up our debate, and my teacher like switched us our groups last second, and the days that we had the debate on, and I was all stressed out because like I just wanted this, my debate like written out and prepared and ready by then. It's like everything getting switched last second kind of threw me off.
Absolutely. Well, and so greens and golds at time are really, really complementary because they both like sort of a concrete approach to life, whereas the blue and the oranges are much more social and relational. What gets really interesting, though, is that when you start kind of breaking these colors apart and you can find out ways of speaking in each other's language, that this stuff gets really, really fun. So, Amy, do you know anyone, just from the profiles that we're hearing of the colors, perhaps a close friend or a partner that is, say, you're an orange. Do you know anyone that's a gold?
Actually, I almost am, too. So.
Oh, okay. So you have that kind of two-color tension. Okay.
But, yeah, definitely.
Because many times in this, at this point of the training, after we find out the color groups, we do joys, values, strengths, and needs. We pair people up with those color groups that are often a little bit at odds. I'm an orange myself, and my mother's a gold, and all my life it's been a little bit tough on each other because we just, you know, wired differently, different tension. So we have people sell a car to the other color group and practice working in the language of another color. So orange and gold are set up, and green and blue. And you would not believe how hard it is to make this activity like go as people are scrutinizing, how in the heck do I sell a car as an orange to a goat? So if you look at your book on page, how greens speak, okay, so it would be page 6 through, I guess, 9. We start dissecting, to some extent, these pages so we can sell a car effectively. So, for example, Daniel, you're going to play the gold again. If I was going to sell a car to you, these are some of the strategies that I might use. See if this works. Thanks for coming in, Daniel. You're right on time for your appointment. Thank you. I see that, you know, you're in the line for a new car, and I have a couple different options for you. And look, I've got all the information laid out, and I understand that, you know, you may have come through the lot over the weekend just to see what we have. And I'm going to tell you, I've gone into some depth on the price points and sort of the safety features of each of these. So, kind of leaning into, are any of those things kind of resonating with you,
yes,
Daniel?
Yes.
Safety features, price point, economy, you know, am I getting the best for my dollar?
Right.
What else might really kind of sell a car to you, Daniel? Is it the fastest car on the lot like the oranges might go for?
No. I often say, if it has four wheels and can reliably get me where I need to go, that's all I need.
And then I even push back to the oranges when they come in for their car. Of course, they're like, yeah, price is no issue so much. What I want to know is, do I like the salesman? Can I trust the salesman to be real with me, to be authentic, to the extent that nothing you put on the paper, per se, matters as much as the relationship with the salesman? Would that resonate with you to some extent,
mm-hmm.
Supervisor Mauer? The Blues, meanwhile, want to know that you care about them. So if I was going to sell a car to Supervisor Beth here, I might talk to you about your family. Tell me, Supervisor Beth, what kind of car are you looking for, and for what purpose would you be using the car?
Traveling and comfort.
Traveling and comfort. Would you be traveling with your family?
Yes.
Yes. And who's in your family? Tell me a little bit about your family.
I have 7 grandchildren.
Beautiful.
And they are delightful.
And you want to have those times with your family. So I'm just going to get her going a little bit, and she is likely going to want to buy from me if she can see that she can trust me, that I care about her as a person. That's what's going to resonate for a blue more than anything. We know what the orange wants. They want to like the salesman. The green, let me see, Brooke, if this would work for you. Hello, Brooke. Thanks for coming in. I'm not even going to tell you about the car because I know that you've been researching all weekend about the car that you want. What kind of car did you have in mind?
Probably a Jeep Grand Cherokee, one of the newer ones.
Though. Yep. All right, well, I got your keys right here. I'm going to let you keep it over the weekend because I know you need some time to make your decision. This is a big decision, and it doesn't necessarily matter what information I have to give you because you've done all your research. I'm just going to give you the keys. That's the only reason the green even needs me, because they've done their own research. So do you see kind of the differences that you would try to lean in on these color languages to some extent to identify with your customer? And certainly you could use all of this as you're moving about your life, whether with your intimate partner, whether it's your kids, and certainly as an elected official, to connect with your stakeholders and constituents. It'd be very, very helpful. So at this point, it's super rushed, you know, delivery here, but I appreciate that you guys are all bearing with me, and happy to talk to you more about this tool. And if you really do want the book, I can certainly, like, I can do that. I would love our supervisors to feel like this is for them. I just didn't want to take the, I don't know, the resource if you weren't necessarily invested in it. So do you have any questions for me about real colors? Otherwise, I'm going to kind of pass it back to Daniel. What do you got? Yeah.
I guess my question would be, and you alluded to this a little bit, but in what contexts or settings do you personally, you know, offer this training?
I am over at the Boys and Girls Club with their staff every year, sometimes more than once a year because they have a lot of turnover. But it's really important, this rapport, working with at-risk youth many times, that you get it right the first time, because those kids, first of all, may never come back, you know, moving around, whatever. But secondly, you don't have a huge amount of opportunity to offer that kind of caring, relationship at the outset. So it's really, really important at the Boys and Girls Club. I've done it for years. Leadership Kenosha, they use Leadership Kenosha, members, participants, they use the color groups to set up their team projects. So they make sure that there's a green, a gold, an orange, and a blue in every one of their teams, just because that makes the best team, but it also makes a lot of conflict. So you can figure out, okay, we have to navigate this in real time, right, to make our project work. I've done it, just so many different groups over time. We're currently doing it with the Department of Corrections and many of their, supervision,
deputies, officers.
Yes, those that see people in, parole and probation. So working with, again, an at-risk audience, you don't have necessarily the luxury of time to make a mistake and kind of misspeak or misread. So that's been really helpful for their staff too. Done it with our whole team in extension a number of times. So yeah, it's a great opportunity and it's fun. In 3 hours, you walk away with something concrete. And people will say, well, I've already done Myers-Briggs, or I already know this, I did Strengths Finder. Well, the nice thing about this is there's only 4 color groups. And once you know them, you know them. It's not like an MBTI with Myers-Briggs where you're like, oh, I forgot what the other letters are. I forgot what my combination is. This is beautiful in its simplicity to some extent because you're just like, yeah, I know the tool very well and I know that Daniel's a gold, blue, so from now on, I'm going to be able to speak in your language, Daniel. Supervisor Maurer, I'm going to know you're orange, gold, is it? It's just helpful, and some people will put this on their workstation just as people are working with them and say, okay, right, she's an orange. Gotta know she's not real keen on deadlines or whatever it is. And it's not to be in a judgmental, we call it color bashing way, where people are using this almost to accentuate your shortcomings. Completely defeats the purpose because this is a strengths-based approach to teamwork. So, that's what we got.
Thanks. Do you have any other questions?
Thank you for bearing with me. If you'd like to keep your book, just be sure to keep it. Otherwise, leave it when you get up, and I'll pick them up later. So thanks for bearing with me here.
Great, thank you.
I'm going to leave this
first. All right, that's all with the feature program. We'll go to number 3, our youth in governance.
Right. Awesome. So I just going to give a quick update on where we're at in the process. The nomination, forms have been sent out. We're receiving applications. The interviews will be March 29th and March 30th at KCAB, 6:30 to 8:30. On the 30th, that will be after the photos. And we have our 4 interviewers right here. Supervisor Maurer, we already talked about you're not available. I did open the door for Newton Rodriguez if they were available and want to join. I don't think so, but I'll let you know if that changes. So here's our committee. The deadline is this Monday. So I've sent some reminders over email to the youth applicants and making sure they all got their applications in the mail. And then the orientation will be at the county board meeting in May. So super excited to move forward to that process. Obviously, last meeting we approved the new handbook, which is pretty similar to the old handbook, aside from clarifying that anyone could nominate, anyone of any age in the community could nominate someone. And we kind of did a little research about why it was only the smaller group that did the interviews versus the whole committee in terms of scheduling and logistics and kind of making it really efficient in the interview process. So we did some research as extension, Terry and I, in between this meeting and now, so it kind of makes more sense as to where we are at today with the process as compared to last year, which it's virtually identical to last year, or maybe it is actually identical to last year and then years prior. So, yeah.
Erica, maybe it would be interesting as you reach out to remind everyone, like, is there any advice from our youth in governance to those that are applying or that would be interviewing, or do you guys have anything to share to those that are trying to aspire to your ranks?
Yeah, good question.
I'd probably just recommend them to do it, share my experience with it, like tell them about the bus tour that we do and what it's like actually being here, just so they can understand like what they're getting into and just see that it may be the thing for them. Like a, you know, anecdote on my experience, I guess.
I would say something similar to that. I remember being a little bit nervous about my application process because it had been something that I, like, a program that I had known about for, since before I was even old enough to apply, and it had been something I'd wanted for a while. So I would just remind them not to be very nervous because the application process is not nearly as dramatic as I made it seem. I'm here, so obviously something went well
enough.
Well, thank you.
Anything else, Erica, that we should be aware of, or that pretty much covers
it? Yep.
Great. Thanks. We appreciate you, you know, doing the research and giving us those options. Very helpful. Okay, so then that leads us to our educator and program updates. I know we have two educators in person, and Amy may have some additional ones that she'll be sharing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you ladies give any updates as you see fit.
If you want to start, Erica, I'm going to pull up the Cosmo sheet. So I got everybody's reports.
Well, I already went over the youth and governance updates. The Youth as Resources is also, the application process is also underway, and that's live till March 31st. So we have, let's see, number four or five, I can't think off the top of my head how many are seniors. New spots open, as well as a new adult board member spot open. So the Youth as Resources board themselves have kind of refined and updated the interview process for this year. So that's really exciting. Next Tuesday is our next meeting and our last granting board meeting of the year. So we have grant applications coming in for the board to review. Other than that, I am moving forward with the launch of the pilot of the NIA, Pathways and Purposes for the Future program, in partnership with the Kenosha Public Library, which is a program focused on 8th through 12th graders and helping them figure out what they want to do after high school, and kind of providing experiences like Youth Real Colors and having entrepreneurs and colleges come in and speak and taking them on trips and experiences and really just making sure they have the resources they need to figure out what they want to do after high school and then actually get there. So really awesome, like, cohort-based program. We're launching with our first activity will be a trip to Sherman Phoenix, which is an incubator up in Milwaukee. And we're going to Milwaukee because we'll be meeting the other cohorts from around the state there. And they'll be learning what it was like to launch a business from these business owners and how they got into their industry, as well as kind of working through what that might be like for them if it's something they decide to do. So that's our first trip. And then hopefully from that trip, we'll continue to recruit youth to be part of the pilot this summer, who will help kind of identify what the needs are that they would like to see showcased in the through the program, in addition to the curriculum by extension. So really excited to get that program off the ground, and you know, hopefully in a few months be able to do a presentation on how things are going.
Great, that's exciting. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. I'm still trying to get into the document with VJ's updates, but nonetheless, mine include I'm going to be doing a cohort starting in April that will enroll and train nonprofits, nonprofit leaders in various competencies required for the work in nonprofit, public sector, social enterprises. So the first content area that we're going to be covering in the spring is around scenario planning and action planning. How do you move from strategy but make that actionable for your teams? And we've got some amazing speakers. There will be some local experts that we're recruiting from the nonprofit sector, but also statewide. Some really experienced, that's what we need. So we'll be enrolling, I would say, I'm going to target 10 to 12 different nonprofit leaders and recruiting into the spring cohort. This will run, there'll be four different offerings throughout the year, and action planning, scenario planning is the first. Meanwhile, in April, I'm starting a statewide feasibility study funded through the Medical College of Wisconsin that they're interested in exploring the feasibility of Wisconsin-based products, food products, getting to more of Wisconsin's food banks and food pantries. As you may be aware, the majority of products based on supply chain today are coming from anywhere in the U.S. It's actually cheaper to get products here from California than it is at times to go across county lines and bring it in from a local farmer. So we're going to be exploring over the next year how and where these supply chains could be altered to allow for more Wisconsin-based products, just as supply chains have become so disrupted anyways. This is our opportunity to really foster more of an economic development strategy for our own producers in the state. So that's another thing I'm going to be working on. Okay, so VJ, his report, if I can just go ahead, he said nearly 325 to 350 people attended the Regional Landscape Short Course Program in partnership with Dane, Waukesha, Sheboygan counties. Meanwhile, 90 people are registered for Spring Into Gardening, which is that massive event that's hosted at Westosha High School annually. They bring in all kinds of really, really exciting speakers on different topics related to gardening. That's May 5th. It looks like it runs all Saturdays in March. I wonder, is it virtual? I follow up with BJ for details. And then he's working with the Wisconsin Correctional Institute to offer gardening programming with 6 to 12 inmates and provide technical assistance in developing community gardens. Finally, he's preparing for Arbor Day programming on April 29th. And I think you may have heard that VJ has done tons of work to populate trees on the property here at KCC, and he's got placards for all the different tree types so that people can learn a little bit more about sustainable varieties of trees, knowing that, the emerald ash borer, for example, is just one example of, like, what's to come with disease in trees and how can we be really strategic in the varieties that we're planting, whether in our homes or workplaces. So, cool. And then I also have an update. Is Mary, mm-hmm. I think, in here? Yep. Okay. And then for Mary, upcoming events for April, she's got Safe Kids, Strong Families, which is programming related to the Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Month. So, as you know, Mary trains around mental health and financial literacy generally, but she's also very involved with Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Month. She said Connie Ray's Award for Child Abuse Neglect Prevention, I guess they're giving an award, and that will be highlighted, awards and all this recognition highlighted on the Facebook page throughout the week. There's a Safe Kids, Strong Family run walk at Kemper Center, and home and community educators. There's a resource fair here at the KCC. So she's going to have all this stuff on our Facebook page. finally, I'll just share the director updates from Terry and get you guys out of here. Thank you. Terry is in Madison for the night, so she wanted to just report that final interviews are completed for the 4-H educator. Fortunately, that's been a long road, and she will be making a verbal offer any day once it's approved by HR to do so. So we'll have our full-time 4-H educator for Kenosha County here and working within the next month, I would say. Number two, Pinewood Derby went well thanks to the 4-H Council members. They took the reins and were collaborating very well. Terry was thrilled to be here in person and meet the council members. She also brought her father with her just so that, you know, she could get more acquainted and let them know that she is more than just an administrator. She is a person too. So they've had a lot of, I don't know, troubles navigating this without a 4-H educator. She said also save the date for Arbor Day celebration on April 29th, so she'll be here as well. That concludes the director updates.
All right, thank you. Then that concludes the portion of our UW Extension items, and we'll just put a pause on the meeting. We'll resume in 14 minutes next door. And so thank you. Appreciate each one of you being here. Just for the recording, I forgot to mention this at the beginning. Attendance purposes. All youth and governance are here, and all supervisors except for Supervisor Rodriguez are in attendance. So just that's on the recording. Thank you.
When I went to Madison, so I was like, this is cool. You
tried it is.
This.
It is.
It was like,
well, hey, and if you want, I could tell you some other really cool things that are like a little bit more, a little more interesting than colors. So if you want to try some different, there's two things. One is called the Enneagram. I've got some books on it. It's fascinating.
I have tried that, but I don't remember. Again, it's like the same thing.
Yeah, so
I don't remember what I ended up being.
Known more as like a... Thank you. It's known very much in like spiritual traditions and things. There's nine types, so instead of the four. But it's really good because it talks about like, okay, so once you know your type, my husband knows what his type is. And thank you. Thanks for being here, gals.
Is it okay?
Keep it. Good. Very. Okay, learn from it. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Thank you.
So the nine types, and then it talks about the combinations between, like, I'm a seven, my husband's a six. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the pitfalls that you're going to find? And
that is
what is it like when it's, like, at its best? Because the nice thing about the Enneagram, whereas the like colors fall short, is that this is all about like strengths and blah. But it's like the nice thing about the Enneagram is like it talks about these passions. For example, seven, very prone to like experience, want to like continuously dream, live in the future, imagine what's possible, etc. This is the passion of quote unquote gluttony. All we want is more stimulation, whatever it is. Like, oh, we want more. Okay, so what does that look like in the negative? You know, and it just like this ego structure talks about like, okay, at its best, it's very open, it's very curious, it's very et cetera, super energizing. At its worst, it's shallow, it's, you know, unable to focus, you know, it's all these things that like gives you the contrasting like other side of the coin. Like, and as you develop yourself and become, I think, more whole as a person, this is why it's used very much in spiritual traditions. It's like this notion of like you uncover and come back to like the healthy sense of yourself because you can kind of avoid these passion points. It's very cool. So that's the Enneagram. Cool. And then the second one, of course, is relational networking that I want to talk more about.
Yeah, exciting.
So we are doing that. We got a bunch of things booked with this watershed group, Tri-State Watershed.
Oh, great.
So excited. So, this stuff is, like, really jazzing me, and more so, like, I use colors to, like, get my foot in the door, and then they'll be like, hey, we want more, like, what else can you offer us?
Yeah, makes sense.
Then I'm
that
like, okay, I can go deeper, because this is just for fun, but there's a
lot
more.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it seemed like they liked it. So.
I think so. I mean, I love, like, personality tests, and maybe that's the ego.
Well, and we also did the Strengths Finder. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's interesting. We've done that as a team.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, Terry sent it to me, and it was interesting because I also did it at my job in D.C. like 2 years ago, and I was still woo both times. But
okay, okay.
The other, the next 10 were completely different, and I, yeah, it said it was, like, whatever it said my major strength was, or like the overlying or underlying theme was different this time than when I did it a couple of years ago. So it's kind of interesting.
That's good. I mean, we're changing. You know, you're in a different mm-hmm. state of your life and mm-hmm. settling in to some yeah. extent. So tell me, if you got to go, no problem. I just loved a couple highlights from the Mexico trip. I saw your Facebook post.
Yeah, I haven't, I haven't posted, like, most pictures. Not so many pictures that I've seen.
Like, you saying that the Loyola family, like, meeting them was so cool.
Yeah, it really was. They were really kind. And that's, like, the part of trips that I enjoy the most is, like, meeting people. And it's funny because it's, like, you could be just hanging out with people, like, sharing and talking anywhere in the world. But that always tends to be a part that I really, really love. So
for sure.
Yeah, his nephew was really cool and, like, taught, you know, some graffiti skills yeah. and went with us to Oaxaca. And it was just kind of cool, like, yeah, just kind of learn from them and go to, like, the small town that Francisco's dad is from.
Okay, so you got out of the city and...
Yeah, I went to Mexico City and then we drove to Oaxaca. Okay. And that's, like, a six-hour drive.
So. Is it? Okay, so you took a road trip out there.
Yeah, so, like, halfway, like, on one road halfway is the Oaxaclitlan, which is, like, okay. the small town that his cousins live in.
Oh.
That his dad is from. And then the other, like, kind of the other road, the main road that goes back is Puebla. Okay. Is also on the way, so we got to stop.
God,
it was wonderful.
I'm so excited for you. Yeah.
The food was so good, and it's crazy because I have wanted to go to Mexico City or Mexico, and yeah, Mexico City for like many years, but I knew people who knew people, but I didn't really know anyone, mm-hmm. and I really like to, like I said, get to know people, and then the pandemic hit, and so.
I'm so happy you could do that. And it seemed like Francisco loved it too.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like
15 years.
That's a really long time.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, and one of his brothers he hadn't seen in 19 years, we discovered.
Whoa.
So I was like, wow.
Oh,
was that recording? Oops.